You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surf and Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Cam, you ready to get this party started?
Can't wait.
Okay. Well, yesterday I was a horse, as a horse is, of course. And so last night I was like, okay, Lord, raise me up, restore me, that I have some kind of voice that I can get through this hour today. But everyone will just have to excuse my hoarseness. And I sent out a little power of a prayer agreement to my prayer warriors. And I said, say a little prayer for me today, girls, or a big one. My voice is raspy and hoarse. I've got to go on and chat for an hour. And I just said, agree with me that God heals me, uses me as he would have, in his will today. Raise me up, strengthen me. Let someone have renewed hope. Let someone be delivered from something that's oppressing them. Let someone be healed. Let restoration come. Let someone be encouraged. Let someone be inspired. But most importantly, let someone turn to God, that their salvation is secured. Let someone be changed, lifted up for the better, giving God all the glory and honor and praise. And just help me keep on keeping on, because I have to question my sanity as to, you know, why I'm here and why I'm doing this. As I drive to the LA Talk Radio station, as you know, the LA traffic is something of a challenge. And I'm like, you know, why am I doing this? So I crack myself up sometimes, but, I honestly want to inspire and be a lifter of heads, and I want to help somebody trade in their ashes for beauty. I want to help somebody exchange their tears and their heartbrokenness for joy. And I'm just doing the best I can. I want to shine out like a beacon light. So, and the people said, in Jesus' name, amen. But I have been looking for this verse. And I finally found it. It was in Luke 4, 18 and 19. And when I first came out of the hospital almost 12 years ago, the Lord pressed this upon my heart. And I thought, now, why is he saying that? Now, why am I feeling this in my spirit? You know, what's this got to do with me? And it was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you have to keep in mind, God had just healed me. He just healed me from death. And I literally had 2 feet in the grave, and he just healed me and raised me up. And so Luke 4, 18 and 19, it just kept coming back to me. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news. He sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives, so the captives could be set free, to speak healing to the sick, that they may have hope and recovery, liberty to the oppressed, and just proclaim the Lord's favor. And so as I'm driving to work today, I'm like, I've been really, really looking for that verse. And for some reason, I thought it was in Isaiah. But today I was like, okay, here's my weekly little health challenge. I mean, and, you know, not to make it about me, but, you know, I have a lot of things that come against me health-wise, and I just keep on keeping on. But I want to first go sidebar to our wish on Wednesday. And as you and I looked into, it was Reride. And Reride, this is who I made donation and blessing to, philanthropic work. It's for the American Quarter Horse, and it's called Reride. And they restore and rehabilitate American Quarter Horses who have like been show horses that have been injured. And they just get them well, and they have a program called Ride Through It. And these are for cancer patients who could seek comfort and peace and healing and solace in going on trail rides and just riding a good old solid horse through their Ride Through It program as they are restored and their recovery of cancer comes about. So the horses are lovingly donated and brought to their center, and they're given great care, and then they are transitioned and put into homes that are safe and have proper accommodations for the horses. So I just love that. And our Wish on Wednesday is again going to the Ride Through It program at ReRide, and they focus on the American Quarter Horse and the American Paint Horse. But as you and I talk about all the time, we're horse crazy and we love horses, so we can't help ourselves. We always have to talk a little bit about horses. But I want to go to a place that I love, and it's the power of the positive word. And I love power of the positive word. And so this week I spent a little time to encourage and inspire with positive words. And so see how you like these, Kim. So good things to have. Good things to have. And you can add to it if you like. A sense of humor, a taste for adventure, transparency and honesty about yourself, about who you are, you know, what your junk is, and dealing with your junk and having time to, as I say, weed your own garden, you know, when you need to get yourself back into alignment. Confidence in yourself, but more importantly, humility. A drive and an appetite for success. Vision coupled with intuition. Strength and a wherewithal to keep on keeping on. Authenticity and a gallant presence, integrity, class, and sophistication. So I loved all that, and I just wanted to go through some power of positive words. This, of course, is a scripture in Exodus 15:2, and I try not to sound so preachy. I love this. When we were at church this Sunday, and I'll talk about that later, he said, "Take out your owner's manual." Take out your owner's manual. Don't keep it in the glove box of your car. Take out your owner's manual. So I love that he was referring to the Bible as his owner's manual. And I always, you know, when you want to find wisdom in multiple counsel, you know, go to the truth, lay the axe at the root, as I say, go to the power of the positive word of prayer and find the truth in the word of God. So I try not to be preachy because Lord knows I'm not, you know, of high standard enough to be a preacher. That's why I say I'm a fighter. I'm a crusader for the cause. But Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. I will praise him. I will exalt him." That's one of my favorite verses because, you know, I love music. I love to write music. I love to compose music. And so I that would fall under these are a few of my favorite things. But this is one of my favorite verses. "The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. I will praise him and I will exalt him." Exodus 15:2. I thought that was so good. And you know, and here it's my goal to inspire and encourage. And you know, I loved this. This was a positive word. If you are free, then you need to free someone else. And if you have some power, then you need to go and empower someone else. And I just love that. And, you know, I always say, come from a place of yes. If someone asks something of you and you can say yes, then why not say yes? I mean, come from a place of yes. I'm a fabulous customer service representative. If I can fix it for you, I want to say yes. And so many times in our day-to-day travels and endeavors, you know, people are just like, nope, can't do it, nope. And I'm like, but why? I mean, like, it would be, and sometimes I'll just call them out. I'll be like, oh, well, you're not operating from a place of yes, are you? And, you know, I think about my Heavenly Father and, you know, people ask me, you know, why do you think God healed you? And I always say, because he can, because he could. Simple. I think our Heavenly Father, I think He gives us what we can handle. I think He wants to love on us and spoil us. I think He says yes every time He can. And when He doesn't say yes, I think that the timing is not proper. You know, I always say, catch a wave, the miracle's in the timing. And a lot of times He's protecting us or we're just not ready. And I mean, let's get real with ourselves. We can, I need, give me. Lord, help me. And a lot of times it's goes back to, you know, your due diligence. Have you put the work in? Are you ready? Are you prepared? And a lot of times I feel like, you know, if He doesn't answer right now, it's because there's something bigger and better. There's a bigger blessing just around the bend, or more people are going to be involved in the blessing. And because the miracle's in the timing, everyone's coming into alignment and coming into order for the big commanded blessing. So, you know, I think that any time that we are not getting what we want from God and we're asking, really, it's just because, you know, that maybe there's a little bit more that needs to come into alignment. But, you know, I'm going to be the first to say that I spoil the people around me. I'm a great host. Kim, you're a great host. And you know, we just, when people come and company come, it's so important to be, you know, a great host. And you know, I wait on you hand and foot. I'll cook for you and just serve you. And so that's always fun. But I believe the Lord, He spoils us and He loves us so much. He wants to spoil us and He wants to give us the desires of our heart. And this is another encouraging word. It says, of course I struggle, but more importantly, I try to never give up. And I just love that. And, you know, and I touched on that last week that, you know, we can't just always act like everything's perfect. And, you know, we're just, you know, sachet frosé, you know, Cinderella in our way through. I mean, yes, every day's a struggle for every one of us. But more importantly, mm-hmm. we're not giving up. We keep getting up, dressing up, showing up, and shutting up that overanalyzation of paralyzation, the whine and the pity, the excuses. And so, you know, I love that. Of course I saw that on a sign. Of course I struggle. But more importantly, I try to never give up. And so I saw this, you know, it says, every day, focus on the privilege of being healthy and simply being alive, that you have another day and you're healthy. And when you realize how blessed we are, as Americans living in the greatest nation in the world, you simply can't feel good. You simply can't not feel good and feel happy and privileged and blessed. Amen. And so
Amen.
I was like, I'm going to skip around and jump around a little bit, but we were going, favorite things, we were going to walking down to church on the beach. And my friends were in, some of my friends came in from Texas. And so we were walking and I was joking and I said, stay away from the donut tent. I don't know where they're getting these donuts. I think they're getting these donuts at Randy's Donuts. Have you ever been to Randy's Donuts? They're famous in California.
I haven't.
Okay, well, you got to go there. Or maybe you should never go there. But
Never go there.
Randy's Donuts are the bomb. They're the bomb. And so everyone, while we're like in Pilates class, you know, they'll be like, have you been to so-and-so? Have you been to Randy's Donuts? Because their cinnamon rolls are like the bomb. And so anyway, so we went to Randy's Donuts, but these donuts that they have at church, they got to be from Randy's because they're just like one will, you know, they're like Lay's potato chips. You can't eat just one. But anyway, so we're walking and I'm saying, stay away from the donut tent. Don't even go over there to get coffee. Stay away from the donut tent. And this little man comes by me and he's walking to church. I know he is because I saw him at church last week. And they have a little deal that if you take a bag of cans, recycled plastic bottles or cans, you get a free t-shirt. So this little man's going by me, and I can tell he's homeless, you know, bless his heart. And he's got his sack of cans. And when he gets there, he just gives his sack of cans. And he doesn't get his free t-shirt. He just gets his sack of cans. And he goes over and he gets him a couple of donuts and he gets him a cup of coffee. And he's just sitting there and he's just so happy. And we're singing and praising God. And of course, I mentioned last week, it's so wonderful. Like the choir in the background is all the surfers out there catching a wave. And there, I mean, like it was packed Sunday. I guess the surf was up because, I mean, they were out there just thick as all get out. They were surfing. And my friend from Texas was like, I just cannot believe this. I mean, we're on the beach and we're having church. And again, I mentioned last week, those kids were up there and those kids have genetic harmony and they're just like a family of four kids and they're singing and it was awesome. And they asked us, they said, we want y'all to say your high for the week. We want you to stand up, say your name. Say your high for the week, say your low for the week, and say where you're studying in the Bible and who you're trying to reach for God. And so that was quite a deal. So I stood up and I said, hi, my name's Jenny. I don't even remember what I said. I said my high for the week was my friends visiting from Texas and hadn't seen them in a couple of years. So that was my high for the week. And honestly, my low, I had two lows. Someone stole our bike, cut it off the chain at the beach and stole our bike. So that was a bummer. And they told us
You love that bike.
I know. And so I was like, bummer, downer. And so when we came to California, they were like, don't buy a nice fancy bike because it could get stolen. And sometimes they come through there with the bolt cutters, those ornery varmints, and they'll cut your bike off and steal your bike. So we'd been out here about a year and a half, and darn it, we got a bike stolen. So that was my bummer. And then the other thing, which is hilarious, kinda, sorta, we took the Beach Barbie bus. And we stopped off at the mall, and we parked it in the mall parking lot, and went in there for a few hours. And obviously, I guess I'm too ditzy and dingy. It didn't have the right parking permit sticker on it, and they towed it. Yes. So I got to go hunt down the Beach Barbie bus and find her after the show today. So had the RV towed, had the bike stolen, but I couldn't bring myself to say it. I could not bring myself to say that those were the lows. And I don't know why. I guess I was like too embarrassed or too ashamed that I was so ditzy. I parked the Beach Barbie bus in the parking lot and it got towed. And then I guess I was still irritated and in frustration that the bike got stolen. But I'm going to tell you why I really didn't say it. I really didn't say it because there was that man that had shuffled past me on the way to church with his sack of cans. And I knew he was bringing all he had to give unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. I knew he had a sack of cans to recycle. And he didn't even claim his free t-shirt. He just got him a couple of donuts and a cup of coffee. And he sat down in a lawn chair. And he was just smiling. And he was just savoring his donuts. And he was just savoring his coffee. And he was just singing praises unto God. And he didn't have a tooth in his head. And I mean, life had weathered him. And this world had beat him down. And he had a smile on his face. And you could tell that he had a joy in his heart. He had a joy and a peace that only God can give. And so I'm not going to stand up and say that my low for the week was that my bike got cut off the chain and stolen, because that man didn't even have a bike. And I wasn't going to say my Beach Barbie bus got stolen, my RV got stolen at the mall, because I just felt like it would be so stupid and petty for me to say that I had a low this week. And, you know, there I sit with a couple of $100 bills in my billfold, and I knew I was going to throw some cash in the offering plate at the end of the service. And, I mean, God spoke to me, Kim. He said, "Sister, are you giving your all? Because He is. Do you have the joy of the Lord on you? Because He does. Are you thanking me with all you got and praising me and waving your banner of joy and praise with all you got? Are you making it count today? Because He is." And it goes back to a while ago when I said, if you got some power, then go and empower somebody. And if you got some blessing, then make sure you bless somebody with it. And if you've got some liberty to free somebody, then go and free somebody. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how God wants us. He wants us to be successful, but of course He wants us to be humble and raise somebody up. So that was such a blessing and such a positive for me to go back to church on the beach and to see that man giving his all and giving everything he had for the Lord. And it just touched me in a way that I was just taken aback. But back to some more positive words, it says, "Today I'm going to be happy. I'm going to try to let the beauty of the Lord shine through me. I'm going to make a choice to be healthy and make healthy decisions that promote health in my life. My strength is in the Lord, and I want to be strong in Him. So I'm going to use my body as a temple of God to be in, you know, find my strength and be in good shape. I love myself. I love my neighbor. I want to spread positivity and blessings everywhere I go. I also want to attract that. I want to spread opportunity and hope everywhere I go for people to be enlightened, empowered, strengthened, and rise up in their best life now. And I want to attract opportunity as well. I want to spread love and joy, healing, and again, hope everywhere I go. And I would like to attract that as well in a mirroring effect. I want to be kind and smart and humble. And I want to give that away to keep it and give that away to get it. I want to be confident. I want to be successful. But more importantly, I want to be humble. And most of all, I want to be worthy. I want blessings to come my way. Therefore, I want to sow the blessings, and in a mirroring effect and in a reaping effect, I want blessings to come my way." Anyway, I love that. Is that not good?
Amen.
So good. All right. So my next positive word is remember that man that gave up. No one else does either. I love that. I always say that. I think that's so witty. Remember that man that gave up. And so, you know, back at church, I'm jumping all around today. Back at church, they were like, "Where are you in the Word?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm all over the place. You know, I'm not studying one specific place." I said, "But what stands out in my mind is, you know, like we talked about last week in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. And they are to prosper you and promote you, and they're beyond your comprehension." And that goes back to, you know, why am I putting myself through this? Because it's out of my comfort zone. And let's just say you got to be tough to be a Californian. You got to be tough to get through this traffic. You got to be tough to have nowhere to park. And I'm being funny, but you know, we love California, but we're like, the traffic is challenging. The parking is challenging. But really back to it is, you know, I feel like God has put an anointing and an appointing on me. And also, it's my bucket list, you know. But I feel like the Lord has put an anointing and an appointing on me to encourage people and bring some hope and bring a positive word. And so this spoke to me. Hey, remember that gal that gave up? Neither does anyone else. So never, never give up. All right, next positive word. The past cannot be changed, so leave it behind you where it belongs. Opinions don't define your reality. Amen. How about that? Everyone's journey is different. So until you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, please don't start to judge. Nearly all things get better with time. This is something I say. If time will heal it and money will fix it and no lives were lost, then, darling, we're doing okay. Let's move on. You know, nearly all things get better with time. And I always say this. I don't know where I come up with all this, but when I'm really stressed out, I say, okay, I'm going to give this 3 days to turn around. And, you know, Kim, usually in 3 hours, it's turned around. You know, when you're really freaking out and you're stressed out, nearly 3 hours will turn it around, but certainly 3 days will turn it around. So nearly all things get better with time. Judgments are a confession of character. Ooh, isn't that good? What you, you know, like it kind of shows how petty you are or how big you are when you start judging and criticizing. So I love that. Judgments are a confession of character. Here we go. Overthinking will lead to sadness. I always say, stop the paralyzation of overanalyzation. And I think it's why I try to stay busy. I want to be busy. I want my hands to be busy and productive because overthinking will lead to sadness. And again, the past is behind you, so leave it back there. Happiness is found within. You know, happy really is an emotion, but joy comes from the Lord. And it's a decision. And, you know, you got to practice your happiness. You got to focus on the positive things. And so happiness is found within. I like that. Positive thoughts create positive things. Love that. And, you know, I think it's in the first book that Joel Osteen wrote, Your Best Life Now, he says in this one little section that is a scientific fact, and he proves it through this law of, you know, psychological positiveness, that whatever you focus your mind on, then it's kind of like your thoughts become your words, and then your words become your actions, and then your actions become your present day reality. So it's super, super, super important that you set your mind on high, that you keep your head lifted, that you're looking up, not looking down, you're looking forward, you're not looking behind you. And, you know, competitively, when you're, you know, as an athlete, it's really key to focus on yourself and your best efforts. And so, because if you're looking side to side, you know, it'll cost you time to look back. It'll cost you energy in the race to look off to the side and look back. So positive thoughts create positive things. And I always go back to that life and death line, the tongue. You got to speak positive words. You have to have a positive vision. Write your positive aspirations down. Write your goals down and then start speaking forth your positive wishes and dreams. And, you know, when we walk our dreams out, they become miracles. And miracles are always around me, and I love to talk about those. So positive thoughts create positive things. I love this positive word. Smiles are contagious. And guess what, Kim? They're free. And I mean, sitting there at church, you know, I was sitting across from that little man who brought his sack of cans and gave all he had and was just sitting there and having found his joy in the Lord and praising God with all he had. And you know, I just smiled at him. I just smiled at him. You know, I shook his hand and I smiled at him and introduced myself. That's all I could give him. You know, kindness is free. I love that. You only fail if you quit. There you go. There we go again. What goes around comes around. There you go. You reap what you sow. You know, it's kind of karma. you know, it'll come back to you in a mirroring effect. Okay, you and I are going to get hysterical over this. I always talk about this. I always tell my kids when they were like in middle school and high school and even when they went through college, I was like, be really, really, really careful about the music you listen to. You know, I don't like negative vibe, negative lyric music. But anyway, so here is something I saw that I had to mention. There just simply aren't enough rap songs about staying in on Friday night, going to bed early, and getting up early on Saturday and working your business plan. Is that not hilarious? So I thought that was funny. Okay, next positive word. Somewhere there is a past you overflowing with pride and joy, looking at how far you've come. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Somewhere.
Absolutely.
Somewhere out there is a past you looking at you now, overflowing with so much pride at how far you've come. I love that. I love that. You know, and it makes me think of, I would have missed the pain, but I'd have missed the dance. I think Garth Brooks said that. So I love that. That's so good. Okay, next positive something, something. 10 steps to building your future. Begin. Start. You know, the hardest thing, Kim, is to start. You got to pull the trigger. You got to jump off the edge. You can sit on the side and read and read and read about how to swim or read and read and read about how to ride a bike, but you got to jump in there and drown a little bit, or you got to jump on your bike and ride and wreck it a few times and skin your knees and you got to get bucked off your horse. But the first thing is to start your race. Start, start, start. So number one is begin. Number two is practice, practice, practice. Number three is keep showing up. There again, get up, dress up, show up, and shut up. Number four, practice some more, and then practice some more. Number five, stretch yourself. Get out of your comfort zone. Strengthen yourself. Number six, practice, practice, practice. Number seven, get up, get out there, and practice some more. Number eight, note and rejoice in your improvements. Number nine, strategize for success and practice some more. And number 10 was repeat steps 1 through 10. Isn't that good? So
yeah.
I love this when you're doing something new. I love this because we all go through this. You know, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? So at first you're like, oh, this is a great idea. This is going to be awesome. That's number one in the creative process. Number two, hey, this is a good idea. This might work. Number three, oh, this was a terrible idea. This might not work. Number four, oh, I'm terrible at this. Number five, hey, this is okay. I'm doing okay. Number six, this is awesome. This is a great idea. So I thought that's what's funny at how we go through that cycle. You know how you do this. You know how, like, when you're going somewhere and you're going to do something new and you're trying something new and you're out of your comfort zone. But we all do that. We go through this cycle in our mind of, oh, this is good. Oh, no, this is not so good. Oh, okay, maybe this is going to be okay. Oh, no, this is terrible. But looking back, you know, you're going to have good days and bad days. It's going to go good some days. Then it's going to be terrible days. You know, Mama said there would be days like this that are just awful. But, you know, the things that, it's funny, I came to this one. I was just getting ready to say that. The things that challenge us, the things that scare us, the things that make us feel inadequate and unsure are also the most rewarding things and the most exciting things. And so I saw this and I liked it. It said, run towards the things that make you feel challenged, scary, and exciting, because those will be the most fulfilling and rewarding. So I thought that was great. And then this was funny. I saw this. It said, of course, I wasn't ready for half of the crap that life puts me through or I've been through, but obviously I was built for it and I'm tough enough to withstand it. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, and then this really, really spoke to me. This was on my friend, My other friend, Kim, she said, I want you to follow.
You're not allowed more than one.
Oh,
Kim,
I'm sorry. Friend. I'm sorry. You're my best friend. Yeah. So she said, I want you to look at so-and-so's Instagram page because it's really really inspirational and y'all are a vibrational match. And I love this. I saw this on her page yesterday or the day before. It said, this is so good. You'd be surprised at who's watching you in your journey. And who's inspired by you and by what you're doing. So don't quit. So I thought, okay, that's awesome, awesome. And so anyway, I just love the power of positive words. And I also love the power of healing words. And so I kind of want to skip over to the miracles around me. And the miracles are in the timing. And I have a friend. And she's a mighty, mighty, mighty woman of God. And she goes by her middle name, but I'm going to call her by her first name because she's probably out there listening today. And her cancer came back not too long ago. It was inoperable.
That's too bad.
Yep. It was stage 4 lymphatic cancer in her neck. And they'd done everything they could for her. And they said, your body really, really can't withstand to go through chemo again. And it was so crazy. The chemo that she had gone through, they called it Red Devil. And literally, if it doesn't kill you, you're going to live. I mean, the chemo was like the strongest, toughest, bestest, most potent chemotherapy they had. And they called it Red Devil. And so she went through these chemo treatments and I kind of talked to her and I was like, I don't know if you should go through that, because it's like, is the cure worse than the cause? You know how that is, Kim. You know, sometimes the cure is worse than the cause. And I've been through a lot of treatments with my health issues and stuff, and sometimes it's just ignorance is bliss, you know, but you can't make that decision for somebody. So anyway, so she goes through this chemo and she gets clear of her cancer, but recently her cancer came back and it was in her neck and it was inoperable. And they did biopsy it and it was malignant. And he said, you got 6 months to live. And if you do the chemo, you got 6 months to live. But your body really can't stand it. And so we just all joined together a couple months ago and we began to pray for her. And I called every powerhouse prayer warrior in the country that I knew, but then I just laid the axe at the root. I probably overused that phrase too much. And I said, Lord, you know, you're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord God that heals this. And I know you got a lot of work for this woman to still do. And I want you to show out and show off one more time. I want you to heal her. And I don't want her to have to go through chemo. And so I want you to be at peace in her heart that she's not going to have to go through this chemo again. And you know, I mean, when they tell you, if you do the chemo, your maximum longevity of life is 6 months, you know, you can kind of take a step back and think, well, how do I want to live my last 6 weeks? You know? And, so long story short, she's living a miracle, Kim. She did alternative health and holistic medicine. And she changed, you know, there is that, you know, that specific diet that you do to starve the cancer out of your body. You know, so, mm-hmm. And, her cancer has just shrunk down to nothing, you know, like in a week or two, it had shrunk down an inch. And so I just want to give praise and glory to God for healing our friend Georgia. She is a mighty, mighty woman of God. And God also laid on our hearts through a prophetic gifted mighty man, Prophet Butler over there at Lawton, Oklahoma. He said, not only is God going to heal her, he's going to restore her to her youth. And so I just hang on to that. I just claim that for her. I just rejoice in that for her. But Kim, she is healthy as a horse. I mean, we're like looking at week 10 or 12, and God has healed her. And so I just praise God for that. I just thank God for that, that, you know, kind of, she really didn't have an option. I mean, they told her that you can do this chemo, but you can't, your body can't withstand that intense chemo. And if you live through it, you're going to have 6 months to live. And I say this to anyone out there listening, don't ever, ever, ever give up, because we serve a God that heals us. And he's not a respecter of persons, you know, and I talked about that last week. But, you know, I know we have a different audience this week, and there are people out there that, you know, I'm asked to go and talk to a lot of people who have no hope, because, like I said, I'm just too dumb or too stubborn. I just keep on every day trying to live my best life now and trying to do what God has, you know, called me to do. But, you know, so in the third book of John, verse 2, it talks about, you know, God wants to prosper us. He wants to heal us. He wants us to be prosperous, and he wants to heal us. And so, you know, he also in 1 John 5:14-15, you know, it says we're to have confidence. We're to have confidence in the Lord that he is going to heal us. And, in Matthew 9:35, it says, you know, Jesus went into the cities and the villages, and he was preaching the gospel, and he was healing the sick every day. He was healing the sick every day of every disease among the people. And what's important is, even though Jesus doesn't walk on this earth anymore, you know, when he left, I said it before, he left us that comforter. He said, I'm going to leave you now, but I'm going to leave you now with the gift. And it was the Holy Spirit, and he called it the Comforter. And he said something so important. He said, now go and do as I've done, but do more. He said, go and perform the miracles that I have performed, but do more. And Kim, the reason I think he said do more is, I said it before a couple of weeks ago, when he was here, he was one man, the Son of God, that was walking on this earth, and he was somewhat disconnected from God. So he only had a certain amount of power, miraculous restoring. Now, this is just my personal opinion, and I'll probably get 300 emails that say you were wrong, and I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to say bring it, and we can kick the ball back and forth, and we'll discuss it. But this is my opinion, and it ain't worth two dimes. But I believe God said, I'm leaving you with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, my Spirit. It's going to dwell in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Here we go. That anointing and that pointing of that Holy Ghost power, that Holy Spirit. But he said, I think this is why he said, now go and do more, Kim. I think he said it because he rolled that stone away. He rose again after that third day, after they hung him on that cross. And I love it. I love, love, love to say this. Jesus, he ain't on that cross no more. He ain't on there. He crawled down off of there. He come down off of there. And my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. On the third day, he rose again. And he went to be with his Father in heaven. So, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that is who we have in us as the Comforter, as the gift. Yes, you're going to walk through this. Yes, you're going to walk through this world. And yes, you're going to have tribulation. But don't be dismayed. Don't have any fear. I've overcome this world. I done been there. I done did that. They done crucified me. They done hung me on the cross. But darling, don't worry. I crawled down off that cross, and I rolled away the tomb, and I left you, but I left you with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now go and do more than I did. And the reason I think that we have the power and the anointing and the appointing to go and do more, if we're in humble, proper stance, obedient before God, drawing our sword, which is the Word of God, getting our owner's manual out, using the power of God, using the Word of God, like we, in the power of prayer, in the power, in the unity, to do the works of God, the hands of God, the vision of God, we can say, we're going to agree that you're healed. We're going to agree that even though you've only been given 6 months to live and your body can't withstand chemo again, you know, go and get your affairs in order, because this is one more person. Go and get your affairs in order. You only got 6 months to live, you know. And I'm just like going, all right, Lord, show us that your word is the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever. And your word cannot return void. And he's saying in Acts 5:15, they all came into the streets and the cities, and they were all sick. And Peter, the disciple Peter, he had such an anointing on him that when he walked by down the street, his shadow, simply by his shadow in the anointing and the appointing that he had on him, the power of God, the Holy Spirit in him, everyone there that gathered there was healed. That's pretty powerful. It says in Acts 10:38, in the Holy Ghost power, the Holy Spirit, go, I'm telling you, go and do good works and heal those who are sick. Rise up those who are oppressed, for God is with you. I don't know what more you need. I don't know what more you need. I'm not telling nobody, don't go to the doctor and get proper medical advice and get proper medication. My God, our God is the healer of all healers. He invented everything. He created medicine. He created all of this. But also there again, when they give you no hope, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle every day. We walk in the days and in the times of miracles. And catch a wave. The miracle's in the timing. So I have, you know, all these fabulous words. In James 5, 13-16, it talks about, let us pray and let the sick be healed. In Acts 4, 29-30, stretch forth your hands and boldness speak, and in boldness speak for them to be healed. So, you know, not to be all weird and everything, but in the Word of God, it says, gather together and in my name, stretch your hands forth and in boldness speak, you know, go boldly for the Lord, go confidently before the Lord that he's going to do what you need him to do. And we got to get back to that. We got to get back to the Word of God. We got to get on offense and get off defense. I say this all the time. And, you know, I love it. It says, small-minded people whine and gripe and complain and criticize. People that are going places and doing things and getting things done, they're talking about what their next goals are. They're talking about what inspires them. They're talking about how they're going to go out into the world and be the change that they want to see. So, you know, I just feel like we got to get back to armoring up in the Word of God, drawing our sword, using the power of God, using our owner's manual to change our lives and those around us. In Luke 10:8 and 9, it said, heal the sick and say to them, God is with you. Okay, that's pretty black and white. He's talking to his people. And, you know, I have a really hard time of feeling like I'm worthy to be used of God because, you know, I just hold myself to a high standard and I know how rotten I am. I know I am spoilt rotten. I mean, I just really don't think this old leopard's going to change your spots. You know, I think you're a zebra and you're probably too old to change your stripes. But, you know, let's have a little grace with ourselves. And it's at least grab on to the Word of God and the power of God. And in Luke 10:8 and 9, it said, go heal the sick and say to them, God is with you. That's inspiring. That's encouraging. So I love that. And so anyway, I want to jump over to my favorite things. Boy, howdy, were we the Vagabond Vixens this week. We went everywhere. We had such a good time traveling with our friends, and we had a lot of business to tend to. But we went down to Palm Springs, Palm Desert. And shout out to our friend Susie. Oh, gosh. I'd never been to Palm Springs, Palm Desert. And I didn't get to spend enough time there. I'm going back. Have you been, Kim?
Yes, ma'am.
It's beautiful. What are your favorite things there in Palm Springs.
So I haven't gotten to explore it the way I want to. When I went for a conference, and I was just in that conference for a couple of days, so I didn't see much more than the resort that we were at.
Uh-huh.
But it was magnificent.
Oh,
and
I love it.
It is just, and I went at a beautiful time of the year. I went in November, and you went at a good time too, the back end of September, first part of October. It's starting to cool off a little bit. November, it was beautiful. And you go there in the summer, you're going to roast. But
yeah,
you go there in the fall and the winter, you're going to just be enjoying the beautiful, beautiful nights that they have there.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, it is wonderful.
It's so beautiful.
A true treasure.
Yes, yes. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I think it was the Rat Pack, you know, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. And
yes,
yeah, that they kind of put Palm Springs, Palm Desert on the map, and the golf courses and the country clubs. And we went with our friend Susie. She's such a doll. We love Susie and Will, and they have such a beautiful home there. And we went over to a little place, dinner place called The Nest, and it's owned by Susie's friends, Dodie and Kevin Henry. And I'm going to tell you, they're some of the most beautiful people. But here, I'm going to give a shout out to Dodie's mother's beef knish. We had the beef knish homemade, to die for. It was so fabulous. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time there this weekend in Palm Deserts, Palm Springs. And I didn't get to spend enough time there, but I'm going to go back and, you know. And,
sounds like we got a road trip.
Oh, yeah, we got a road. I got to go get the Barbie Beach truck out of. I know right now, if Sean Gillespie is listening to this, he is like, he's hunkered down with his teeth gritted, like, oh, what's that going to cost for her to go get the RV out of tow? Because I'm always doing crazy things like that. And let me just say, shout out to Shawnee Honey, our old plow horse. Today, he is 55, and
double nickel.
Happy birthday, Sean. And so we literally, you know, we call Shawnee Honey our plow horse, our workhorse, and we thank him that he is hooked to the plow every day, working hard, and just fueling our train so we can make our dreams come true, like be in LA at the beach and be living out our birthday wishes. And today is his birthday day, so kids, don't forget to tell your dad happy birthday today. But you know, Kim, I'm having birthday year because I'm turning 50 in November, so I'm having birthday year. But anyway, happy birthday, Sean. Other favorite things, we went to Wally's in Beverly Hills. Now, there is a Wally's in Santa Monica. Kim, have you been to Wally's on Cannon Street?
I haven't.
Okay, we're going there.
I haven't.
Okay, so if you could imagine the bestest delicatessen and hamburger joint with a $2 million, I mean, there's no telling what they have in wine on the, so there's probably $2 million worth of wine in there, Kim. And my friend Sherry, she got a glass of wine the other night. She was looking through the wine list, and she got like a $40 glass of wine, but there was a $300 glass of wine. And we were just like, wowsy, you know. But real quick, we're about out of time. But there was a gentleman that came by that she thought she recognized. And so, and I mean, we're like, okay, how could she recognize him? Because we're in Beverly Hills at Wally's. And he comes by, and sure enough, she knew him. And he was from Waco, Texas, had graduated from Baylor. And he sat down with us and chatted. And so what were the odds that we were in Wally's and we were in there going to have dinner? And just for things to get a little better, he treats us with a charcuterie board. And you know how I love, 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 love charcuterie board. And we've got to do some investigating because my friend Paige back in Amarillo, she was like, when did we just stumble onto a charcuterie board? Like, where have charcuterie boards been in our life? You know how, like, we kind of go through trends? Do you have an answer for that? You know, like,
no, I don't
remember how, like,
if anyone's going to stumble onto a charcuterie board, it's you.
It's me. You remember when, like, in the 70s, it was fondue and everybody had a fondue pot. Okay. And then, like, you know, so let's fondue. Let's have a fondue party. And then you kind of go through, I don't know, we went through a beer rocks stage, and I do need to make some beer rockses because I can throw down and make some great beer rockses. And normally every year for Sean Galluzzi's birthday, I make him a red velvet cake from scratch. And I have put my cookbooks up in storage and been running around too much, and I cannot make it without the recipe. But sorry, Sean, I'm about 3 or 4 red velvet cakes behind for your birthday. But when I do get it made, I'll make it with double icing like you like. But no, we got to investigate where the charcuterie board has been all of our life. But we had such a wonderful week, and then we went to Newport Beach yesterday, and I know you love you some Newport Beach. So,
oh man, tell you about the best time of my life. That was Newport Beach. No. Oh my gosh, I can smell the salt there just saying the name.
Yeah, I love it, love it. But so we really went around the bend. We've been to Palm Springs, Palm Desert. We've been in Beverly Hills. We've been on the beach there in Manhattan Beach, and then we went down to Newport Beach, and that's why I've kind of had a little too much sun, little sunburned, little wore down. But thank you so much for being with me this week, and I think we got our favorite things in. We talked about our miracle in the timing. We did our wish on Wednesday, and we did our pop. That's my deal. I call it the pop, the POP. Our place of peace is found in the Word of God. The power of the positive word is found in the Word of God, and the power of prayer is found in the Word of God. So, Kim, thanks for being here, and we appreciate you, and I'll see you hopefully same time next week, same place. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.